This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, apparently the markets decided they didn't want to continue to sell off into the long holiday weekend as we saw risk on trading during Friday's session. Welcome into Market Talk. Thanks so much for joining us as we are back in studio here today after three very busy, very long, but very exciting days at the Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa this past week. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thanks so much for joining us once again, making us part of your day as we take a look at the markets and issues impacting rural America here on Market Talk. And yeah, again, the market trade on Friday after a couple of risk off days. We saw markets come back with some risk on trading, good strength in grains, and we also saw decent strength in energies and outside markets and the stock market specifically. Livestock trade was a bit more mixed. We're really going to break down the trade action coming up here on the show today. Ted Seifert, Zahner Ag Hedge, is going to join us here as we head into the long holiday weekend. And again, it was a lot of fun at Farm Progress Show in Boone. So many awesome conversations that I had with folks throughout the ag industry, farmers, ranchers. It was really great to be on the grounds and be back in Boone for the show. And I know coming up here, we're going to be featuring more of those conversations from Farm Progress Show throughout the next few episodes of Market Talk. So definitely stick around for that. We're going to have one of those conversations coming up here at the end of the show today. I'm going to be looking a little bit more on the tech side of things, as obviously it is the Farm Progress Show. Technology is a big component of what is happening there. And I'm going to have a conversation. We're going to take a look at some of the new products from Fendt. We're going to talk to Connor Bergen of Fendt coming up here at the end of the show today. Listen back into the conversation, I should say, that I had with him at the Farm Progress Show. First up, though, want to take a look at what happened in the market trade on Friday a little bit, get some thoughts and analysis with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. StoneX also releasing their latest updated customer surveys for quoted soybean yield estimates on Thursday. So I talked to Arlen about that first here during the midday commentary as I talked to Arlen around the noon hour on Friday and got his thoughts on the StoneX surveys as well as the market trade action seen on Friday. Here is Arlen Suderman of StoneX.
Well, I'll start with the soybeans, where we continue to get mixed results with some just really doing well and some doing really poor, and it all averages out something close to a trend yield. We did raise our national average yield by a half bushel to 51.8 bushels per acre. The agronomist experience that I have would suggest maybe that's a little on the high side with the way we finished the season, but frankly, I don't have any data to really back up my opinion at this point. And so I think the estimate's probably pretty good as we kind of monitor and see how this crop finishes out, how it fills out those top pods. But a lot of variability within that. On the corn side, the national crop is getting smaller. We've got some good corn out there, but we've got more bad corn that's offsetting the good corn, especially in the western Midwest and areas that missed out on the rains and had a little bit more heat. Our customer survey dropped the yield down to 173.2 bushels per acre, down from 176 bushels per acre last month. I anticipate that'll probably continue to slide a little bit lower. I initially thought that we would probably end up in the low 170s for a national average yield. My yield model, which is unofficial right now, our official yield is the customer survey one. My unofficial yield model's at 171. And it usually does pretty good, except in years when seed size varies from normal. And I think this is going to be one of those years, particularly in the Western Belt, where seed size is smaller. And so that tells me we're at risk of slipping below 170 bushels. Regardless, it means the balance sheet gets tighter and tighter for corn, maybe requiring some more rationing of demand. But for soybeans, we could still go either way, particularly concerned with demand softening out of China, that we could see that balance sheet grow if this yield holds in this area.
Now, Arlen, looking at the market trade on Friday, and it started to kind of feel like it was going to be risk off into the holiday weekend, but now it's risk on here today with some strength across the grain sector. Talk about what you're seeing here as we head into the holiday weekend.
Well, we've been talking about how the fact that the grain and oilseeds and the energy markets, too, were really not trading supply and demand fundamentals so much as they were macro market factors, and that was basically a recession trade based on the assumption that the Federal Reserve was going to be driving us into a recession in order to bring inflation under control, and that would reduce demand for commodities. We talked about now that's probably not fair assessment for the food-based commodities, but that's the way the funds are trading it. Well, that all eased today as we head into holiday weekend. We're seeing some short covering that emerged overnight, and then when the jobs report came out this morning, reflecting a jobs market that's kind of softening, wage inflation is softening a little bit, and Wall Street interpreted that as a sign that maybe the Fed won't be tightening as aggressively. And so that brought even more money into the market as the dollar broke lower. The dollar is trading about 100 basis points now below yesterday's 20-year high, and that's adding to the strength in the grain and oil seeds as well as the energy markets.
Now, in livestock, that feels like the one market this week that's kind of been, it's shied away from the risk on, risk off sentiment. It's kind of been doing its own thing. What are your thoughts in the livestock trade, cattle and hogs, as we head to the weekend?
Yeah, we're continuing to see some general weakness in the hog futures. Is generally we're seeing carcass weights start to work their way seasonally higher in anticipation that we're going to see slaughter numbers also work higher into the fourth quarter as it does seasonally. So that's kind of weighing on this market. But the cattle market following the risk-on sentiment that we're seeing in the outside markets, general optimism there, even with the higher feed costs, feeder cattle are still kind of trading in the green. Fat cattle, we're seeing carcass weights start to move seasonally higher, but the expectation is that we're going to see tightening supplies as we go into fourth quarter and then especially as we get into next year. So a general optimism of money flow there.
And again, that is comments with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at Stone X, talking with him during the midday on Friday for our midday commentary that we post out on our podcast feed each and every day. And always great to catch up with Arlen and get his thoughts on what's going on in the market trade. And again, relatively risk on across much of the board on Friday, headed into the long holiday weekend. I know there's still a lot of concerns out there, still a lot of questions that are being asked by farmers across the country when it comes to the yield estimates, when it comes to the markets in general and all these macro factors and more. A lot of things to really take in, and that was a lot of the talk that I heard at the Farm Progress Show in Boone here this past week. We're going to try to dive into the markets some more, get some more perspective on what we see here in the trade heading into the holiday weekend. Ted Seifert, Zahner Ag Hedge, he is going to join us next to talk about the markets as we continue with more market talk on the way right after this.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now as we take a look at the market trade wrapping up the week and heading into the long holiday weekend, we welcome in Ted Seifert with Zahner Ag Hedge joining us here today. Ted, good to catch up with you, sir. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, Jesse. It's Friday. Happy Friday. Three-day weekend. Yay.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, and for me, busy 3 days at the Farm Progress Show. And as we were chatting a little bit before we went on the air, I'm worn out. I'm ready for the long holiday weekend. And, you know, heading into Friday, it felt like maybe the markets were worn out. A lot of risk-off sentiment. And then We turned that around on Friday. Risk on sentiment across much of the grains, energy, stock market. Kind of an up and down week, obviously, with the back and forth between risk off, risk on. General thoughts here with the market trade as we wrap up the week and head into the holiday weekend. What stands out to you with this kind of back and forth in the trade?
First of all, Jesse, if you're tired after 3 days of farm progress, you should try Crop Tour. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, no, you know, risk on, risk off. Although, look, I don't feel like Friday is risk on necessarily. It's short covering after a big risk off week. You know, guys wanting to, in front of a 3 day weekend, sort of take some profits on the short positions that they had in crude oil, in the stock market. I guess you could say long positions in the dollar, but short positions in the bonds, the selling that we saw all over soybeans. You know, again, we get a little bit of a bounce. That tends to happen when you have a very one directional week. The end of the week ends up the last day of the week. We go the other way because, you know, we're just taking some profits. To some extent, a little risk on, I suppose. But I mean, if you look at crude oil, for example, at one point almost up $3, really having a hard time at points staying above unchanged and, you know, kind of leveling off about a dollar higher. That's not a very impressive bounce off of a very, very key support level. I don't think you can feel really very good about the risk on aspect of these markets going into this 3 day holiday weekend. As far as grains are concerned, I think we had a fair amount of reason to be somewhat bullish for grains coming into this week. The pro farmer number with a really low corn yield estimate. And then, you know, put that together with weather forecasts for more 100 degree days in the areas that have been, you know, hit the hardest. And for soybeans, you know, we were talking about, hey, you know, the pods are there, but really need a good finish off to the season. Well, you look at the forecast, you're going to get the opposite of that. So this should still be a weather market for soybeans. It should be something we're getting excited about, even though we don't have our weekly export sales. We've seen some nice daily export sales come in there. But yet we were down pretty hard. And that's because there's a broader, bigger picture thing happening. If you go back to, if you remember mid-June, where really things fell apart. I mean, that's when we broke off our highs, and we haven't really ever been able to recover back to that completely. You know, everybody's kind of scratching their head and saying, why did that happen? You know, you can go back and say, well, maybe weather got better, but it didn't. You know, look at, we're realizing right now that weather actually didn't get better. But no, that was a big risk off event, inflation off, recession on. I think this week you're seeing signs of that coming back into the market. And if that's how we finish off this calendar year, I hate to say it, but you can stop talking about corn yield. You can stop talking about weather for soybeans. You can stop talking about the daily exports, because none of those things are really going to matter. What is going to matter is the overall money flow coming out of the markets. And to make it real, right? To really give it justification, if we are going into this inflation off, recession on period of time, Jesse, then you are going to see these high prices, these historically high prices, not record high, but, you know, on the historical high end of prices, and we've been here for a long time, you're going to see these prices start to create demand destruction in a much bigger way. That's going to happen at some point. In fact, we've gone a very long time without that happening. Go back to 2012, it happened immediately because we didn't have this massive inflationary undercurrent that we have had in these markets for the last 2 years. But mm-hmm. You take that away, and price rationing happens very quickly, both domestically and globally. And again, that's the concern that I have going into the fall and winter, because I don't really watch Game of Thrones, but I know the saying, you know, winter is coming, right? And you get that feeling just the way the stocks are acting, the way crude is acting, the way the dollar is acting, the way the bonds are acting, just the way everything is acting. You get this feeling that things are going to get a little dicey here as we get into fall and winter. And I do think that consumer demand for a lot of things is going to slow down pretty dramatically once the cooler temperatures come in, whether it be proteins, you know, beef and pork, mm-hmm. or gasoline. You know, we're not going to, I feel like we are going to really slow down our driving in this fall and winter. A lot of that, by the way, because working from home or going into the office is a much more discretional thing than it had been in the past.
Yeah.
We really wanted to enjoy the summer, because for a lot of us, especially the people in cities, it's the first real open summer that we've had in 2 years. So, I mean, everybody wanted to get back to normal. And we've done that. And we've spent a lot of money doing that. Fall into winter, I think, is when people say, okay, we've had our fun. We've spent our money. We need to heal our bank accounts up and ration our demand. And that's, again, the concern. So I can't say for sure that, you know, everything falls apart, right? I hope it doesn't. I don't think this is a 2008 type scenario because this was artificially created by stimulus. And now that the stimulus is gone, I think we get back to sort of where we were before all that happened. We'll probably overcorrect because that's what we do. But I don't think it's a catastrophic event. And maybe not. Maybe this goes on for a little while longer. You know, there is a global tightness for grains right now. If that demand is there between the weather issues in China, the weather issues in South Africa, the weather issues, the Ukraine issues, the weather issues in Europe as a whole, there's not a whole lot of grain to go around. So if the demand's there, then we can stay up at these prices for a while. But then look at the next South American crop. They've had two La Nina hurt crops in a row. They're going to be planting everything they can possibly plant this year. There's estimates of 150 million metric tons, 150 plus million metric tons of soybeans. Corn crop's going to be huge. The chances are that, you know, by the time we get to the Brazilian harvest, there won't be a supply problem anymore. So I don't know if it's now or then or sometime in between now and then, but, you know, I really worry about the downside in these markets. I didn't have that feeling this time last year. I do very much have that feeling right now. I think there's a tremendous amount of risk in these markets in both directions. You know, it could be higher, but if the higher we go in the short term, the lower we go in the long run, or it certainly could be lower. And I worry about what happens here fall into winter from an overall broader economy perspective.
I heard a lot of conversations at the Farm Progress Show just surrounding margins, surrounding the cost of inputs, fertilizer, et cetera. A lot of growers wondering what they should do. Should they look at, you know, maybe they have some 22 crop that they have locked in, but they're even thinking 23. They're going, you know, a lot of thinking that, if I can lock in fertilizer seed and I can lock in a price and I know my margin, then maybe I should do that. So what are your thoughts with just to everything you said there as we look at these markets? Is it smart to start thinking about locking in not just this 22 crop more, but 23 crop as well, Ted?
Yeah, so there's a couple things to unpack there, Jesse. If you are booking inputs, it is rather important that you book the outputs too, meaning you make your sales, right? Those two things need to go lockstep if you're booking inputs. If you're not booking inputs right now and you want to roll the dice on those things coming down, which, by the way, you know, if we do get into that global recession type thing, they will get cheaper, very likely, I have to say. Mm-hmm. But if you're locking in inputs, then you have to take advantage of the good prices that we have for your grain. You got to do it. At the very least, you got to own puts. You got to have some sort of protection underneath, because the absolute catastrophic event would be you lock in high price inputs, you don't lock in your grain prices, and then something bad does happen. And let's say we go to $4.30 corn and $11 soybeans, and now all of a sudden I'm really underwater. What does that mean for next year? Am I going to be hanging on to the rents that I have? You know, that is a potential situation, which I think the likelihood of happening is a lot higher than I want it to be. But it is a potentially catastrophic situation that could pull some people out of the industry. And for the people that have a good balance sheet, the people that have prepared, i.e. the people that have sold, you know, the board, or protected the prices that we have on the board while purchasing inputs, healthy enough balance sheet, you're going to be in a position to grow. So that could be a really good thing for some people too, but it could be very catastrophic for others, for people that aren't really managing the risk that they have by paying for these high price inputs. So you got to do both. Now, if you're not locking in your inputs, I still think there's a very good reason to be going in and looking at the November 23 beans trading 13.50. These 23 corn trading 612, 615. These aren't bad prices. I mean, it's really hard to go broke selling $6 and $13 plus, you know, corn and beans. If you wanted to be 25 to 35% sold on new crop already, regardless of inputs, yeah, I'm really encouraging my guys to do that. But if you are buying inputs, then you have to do it. I can't be more clear about that.
That's Ted Seifert of Zahner Ag Hedge. We'll continue our conversation coming up right after this. Back with more Market Talk after the break.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back here as we continue Market Talk today. Jesse Allen here. Ted Seifert, Zahner Ag Hedge is our guest analyst as we wrapped up the week and look at the long holiday weekend here and look at the trade. And Ted, I know as well, while I was at Farm Progress Show, kind of piggybacking off where we wrapped up the last segment, I heard a lot of folks talking about it as well. A lot of folks that don't normally do a lot of that marketing into, you know, a new crop year 23, like right now, or, you know, looking at even, you know, they're still waiting to maybe get it off the combine first before they make any more moves on 22 crops. So I think there's a lot of folks maybe trying to change their thinking. And I think a lot of it circles back around to the biggest worry I heard about was fertilizer. Nat gas, that's getting pummeled a little bit on Friday here. Europe prices have been coming down a little bit, but still a lot of plants shut down. I think there's just a lot of worry surrounding the fertilizer market as a whole that's really, really kind of concerning a lot of our producers, not to mention just some of the worry, especially with this 22 crop, about whether we have it or not. But that's a different discussion. I think there's just a lot of worry out there about fertilizer right now globally, Ted.
Yeah, right. And I mean, again, going back to the conversation we had, if you are really worried about it and you feel compelled to have to book things right now, fine. Lock in board prices on your grain, though. You can't risk the downside. If you're paying at or near record high prices for inputs, you can't risk the downside on grain. That is, again, the potentially catastrophic situation that you cannot afford to risk. So that being said, you know, things always seem the most bullish at the top, and natural gas seems to be the only market that's sort of marching to its own fundamentals, which are really rather bullish at the moment, right? But I don't think over time that it's immune to an overall turndown. It has been somewhat to this point, but again, that's another really good reason to be locking in board price on grains too, because what happens if you don't, let's say you don't book your inputs and grain prices fall somewhat dramatically and inputs don't, and you're penciling out and you're saying, I don't know how I'm going to make a profit this year because I can't grow a crop that's going to make any money. So that's not quite as bad as actually planting a crop and having booked inputs that, you know, now you're wildly negative on your balance sheet. That's the absolute worst case scenario. But the second worst case scenario is that you can't afford to plant. That's not good either. We don't want to do that. So again, that's where the marketing of the 23 crop comes in. I think we'll have our opportunities. I don't think it's 2008 where we're just completely going to fall apart and be 330 corn all of a sudden. But you have to have your mindset on that. You really do have to be doing that. And look, you know, I will say that I'll be rather surprised if fertilizer prices aren't better than where they are right now when we're getting into the spring. But that's all speculation. I can't say that for sure.
Definitely. Livestock this past week, maybe it kind of felt like it marched a little bit to its own drum. It was kind of maybe separate somewhat from the sentiments and grains and energies, but still kind of tied to it. Any more thoughts in this protein sector? I know you mentioned a little bit when you started the show, talked about kind of the broader economic commodity picture, but any thoughts in livestock as we head into the holiday weekend?
Yeah, it's been a down couple of weeks in cattle. But then, you know, look at a S&P chart and then look at a cattle chart and you're going to be like, oh, aha. So when you have stocks coming down like that, and we worry about our investments, our 401ks and things like that, you know, the mindset is always, you know, people are going to be a little bit less spendy on the more premium cuts of protein, right? And so we worry about demand. Box beef prices have come down. We're at the lowest level that we've been in box beef since mid-May, which has allowed cash to come lower. And cash is traded at $1 to $2 lower this week. So you know, that's all kind of happened. We had a really nice reversal higher on Friday. The chart looks better. It looks like we went and found that support, and you had a cluster of moving averages between 140 and 142. And we were able to bounce off that starting on Thursday, but following through on Friday. Feeder cattle have been helped by the lower price of corn this week, not Friday, but the rest of the week. And actually, back to corn real quick. Corn looks like it's going to scratch out an unchanged week here, pretty close to it, while beans are down fairly sharply. So I want to be bullish cattle. But again, that comes back to the idea of, you know, what happens with the overall economy, and keep a close eye on the stock market for that. Cattle traders do. As far as hogs are concerned, you know, I think there's an interesting play for the hogs, potentially for your speculators. Your New York guys thinking, hey, you know, if people are going to be spending less at the grocer and they don't want to pay up for the higher price cuts of meat, they're going to look for an alternative, a cheaper alternative, and pork might be a really good alternative to some people at some point. So I think hogs could get that speculative interest at some point. But in the meantime, yeah, we've broken off our highs. We're back in this range between, or at least October is between, you know, 81 and 88. I think for now, we just kind of trade sideways until we know more about what's going to happen in the broader picture and with feedstocks and things like that.
Well, and one other thing, too, I just kind of popped into my head when you were talking about that corn cattle relationship. One has to wonder how much corn is going to have to come from the east into feedlot country here this fall and winter. That's going to be a story, I think, to watch as well, Ted, very closely.
That's going to be a very big basis story. Absolutely. It's not easy to get corn from the east to the west, right? Or vice versa, right? Up or down. That's really corn goes up or down, or it goes west, but it goes west from the Dakotas to the Pacific Northwest. Getting corn from Ohio to Nebraska. Oh boy. So yeah, no, that's going to be an interesting thing. And that's going to be something we're talking about a lot. But I think more than anything, that's really going to play itself out in regional bases.
Very true. Ted, before we run out of time, I'll leave it to you. Floor is open. Any final thoughts you have for us today?
Yeah, you know, like I said, this has been a week where I think we've had some reasons to want to be bullish grains, but then you see soybeans in particular go the other way in a big way. You have to be cognizant that sometimes, not always, certainly not always, but sometimes there are bigger factors than individual fundamentals to individual markets. And this week was a week that kind of showed us that maybe we might be going into a time frame of something like that. If that is the case, don't fight it. Don't say, hey, but look at the weather, or but look at that, the corn carrier or the corn yields coming down. Okay, sure, I'm not going to argue those things, but then look at the prices of what's going on the board. You cannot argue what the board does. So just don't be married to the idea of these things have to go higher, because at the price levels that we're at right now, they don't. And that's the reality, right? So, man, you really got to be on your toes. And this is a very difficult market. The last couple of years have been relatively easy. You know, demand is hot, supply's not. And inflation means that we're not going to get demand destruction. So higher we go. Now things are a lot murkier. And we are at some very high prices. So they're very fragile, potentially. Realize that these outside factors have a very big impact on our markets right now. And just go with what the price action tells you to do, right? And be very careful if you're booking input costs and not immediately booking on the board.
Well, Ted, if folks need some advice, I know they can reach out to you at Zahner. How is the what's the best way that they could do that?
Yeah, my direct line is 312-277-0113. I pick up my phone pretty much wherever I'm at. Other than that, you can find us on the web at www.zahner.com. We've got a lot of interesting stuff that we're releasing to help with marketing tools. And then aside from that, you can find me on Twitter at the Ted Spread. I like to do handstands and crop tour, and yeah, it's sort of the lighter side of me, but yeah, it's fun.
Well, Ted, always a pleasure, sir. I appreciate you joining us here headed into the holiday weekend, and have a good one. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on. Talk to you again soon.
And again, that is Ted Seifert with Zahner Ag Hedge joining us here today on the show. Always a pleasure to catch up with Ted and talk about the market trade, and always enjoy his perspective on things, kind of that broader picture perspective. Taking a look at final numbers from Friday's trade action. September corn spot, September up 10 to 3 quarters, 669. December corn, 7 to 3 quarters higher, 665 at 3 quarters. March corn up 7 and a half, 671 at a quarter. Spot September soybeans up 37 to 3 quarters, 1510 and a half. November up 25 at 3 quarters, 1420 and a half. January beans up 25 and a half, 1425 and a quarter. Bean meal October up $1.40 a ton, 424. December up 240 a ton, 417.70. Bean oil for October up 267 points, 67.94. December bean oil up 266 points at 66.25. Chicago wheat September up 17 and a half, 793. December up 16 to 3 quarters at 811. March Chicago wheat up 16 at 827 at a quarter. September Kansas City wheat 8 higher, 871 at a half. December up 9 at 3 quarters, 877 at 3 quarters. March Kansas City wheat up 11 and a half at 879. Over in spring wheat, September, that was up 10 and a quarter at 884 at 3 quarters. December spring wheat up a half a penny, 887. March spring wheat unchanged at 9 even. Oats for December, those were up 2 and 3 quarters, 379 and 3 quarters. Canola up 510 at 817.10. Over in the livestock trade, again, cattle were higher on the day. Friday, live cattle October up 175, 144.55. December live cattle up 167, 150.25. February up 122, 154.37. September feeder cattle up 72, 183.87. October up 60, 184.95. And in hogs, October down 192, 90.02. December down 107, 82.70. February hogs 85 lower, 86.70. And April hogs down 52 at 91.15 on Friday. Well, coming up next, we're going to wrap up the show. One of the conversations I had at Farm Progress was with Connor Bergen of Fendt. We're going to talk new products and more. That's coming up next. Back with more Market Talk right after the break.
Stay up to date and listen to past episodes online at markettalkag.com. Now, back to Market Talk with Jesse Allen.
Hey, welcome back to Market Talk here today. Jesse Allen with you as we are back in studio for the Farm Progress Show this past week in Boone, Iowa. Had a lot of great conversations, and one of those was with Fendt. Connor Bergen joined us to talk about some of the new products they rolled out, including a new tractor and a lot of other big things that they have going on with Fendt. Here is that interview.
Brand new tractor, a fantastic piece of equipment. Walk us through this new 700 series tractor a little bit.
Definitely, Jesse. So as you mentioned, this is our brand new Fendt 700 series, making its North American debut here at Boone, Iowa at the Farm Progress Show. And we like to coin this the most adaptable tractor in the world. And there's a couple reasons for that. For one, whether you're a rancher in Texas or a dairy farmer in Wisconsin, or a big row crop farmer right here in central Iowa, every farm has a tractor of this size on their farm to do a wide variety of applications. We've increased everything on this new 700. So now ranges up to 300 horsepower. So allows operators, growers to get into more applications, do more things with it. In addition, we've also increased frame size. So again, bigger machine, allowing them to do more work with the tractor. We've increased hydraulic capacity on this machine. So again, now more capable of handling larger implements. But back to the adaptability, part of the reason for that is we also have an integrated front loader, not on the machine you're looking at in particular, but an integrated front loader. Sure. So you can take this machine from row crop applications, like pulling a big 24 row planter, to then very quickly and easily putting our loader system on here to handle loader applications. You'll notice a front 3-point PTO hydraulic system, so running front mounted applications. So it's really a machine you can use year round and in a wide variety of applications on the farm.
Fantastic. Well, I know looking across the rest of the lot here at the Farm Progress Show, you guys have some other exciting equipment. This planter we're looking at and standing in front of as well, this thing is huge. Talk about this a little bit, Connor.
Yeah, our Fendt Momentum planter has been very, very well received. It's the most agronomically advanced planter in the industry, and there's a couple ways which we achieve that claim, if you will. For one, the way in which we manage weight and compaction. So we have a unique design here that literally pushes and pulls weight across the frame of the planner. It's constantly sensing load and changing ground conditions, and it's automatically transferring weight across the frame itself, helping manage compaction. Our inline center tandem wheel design follows directly behind the wheel path of the tractors, completely eliminating pinch rows. In fact, we've had the Ohio State University conduct a few tests for us, independent third-party research, and as a result just of that compaction management technology, we're seeing upwards of a 6 bushel per acre yield advantage versus average planters. Now, what's so impressive there, Jesse, not only is the way in which we manage compaction, but also because we have the highest carrying capacity of any planter out there. That means fewer stops for a grower during a narrow planting window season. So they're getting more work done, and they're also increasing yield potential as a result of the way it manages compaction. Also, you can see literally the way this planter flexes. We call that a vertically contouring toolbar. So it's flexing to the contours of the ground, providing greater accuracy. We've had a lot of customers tell us, they're like, wow, as a result of that, I'm planting in areas that I've never been able to plant in the past. And of course, all integrated with the latest innovations from Precision Planting right from the factory.
Well, I know another impressive machine as well. I mean, on top of the two we just mentioned with the tractor and the planter, I'm not used to seeing a black, gray combine, but you guys have a pretty big one here on the lot. Talk about that a little bit.
Not only is it a big one, it's literally the biggest one in the world. That's our Ideal 10T, and yes, it is the largest combine in the world at over 790 horsepower, but way more so than just horsepower, its overall throughput capacity, also largest in the industry. More than just horsepower and throughput capacity, Jesse, I won't stop there, is actual grain storage on the machine itself, also largest grain tank from the factory as well. And with Ideal 2, as a result of our dual helix processor, it really allows us to slow down that threshing and separation process, which in turn leads to cleaner grain quality and better efficiency on the machine as well. So very unique. Ideal also, that features our Ideal Drive, which is the industry's first and only optional joystick steering control system. So literally removes the steering wheel from the combine for totally unobstructed visibility and much better operator comfort.
Now, all these products we mentioned, you guys have more here on the lot as well, but I just think about all of this technology that you guys have, this awesome technology, and for growers, you know, if they're thinking about upgrading equipment, etc., I mean, I have to think the ROI for growers, farmers, ranchers is so huge with Fendt products, just with all of this awesome technology.
That's exactly right. Fendt has always been renowned as a technology leader and always looking at ways in which we can enhance performance, agronomic value to our customer operations. The auto weight transfer system I talked about on Momentum is a great example of that. VarioGrip on our high horsepower wheel tractors like the new Fendt 700 that also allow you to control your tire pressure. Things like that allow growers to get more work done, get it done more efficiently, and have greater agronomic value. But in addition to technology, all of our Fendt products come standard with something called Gold Star. 3-year full machine warranty, plus all scheduled maintenance, plus a loaner guarantee. So we're also really helping growers manage their variable expenses and their risk.
Fantastic stuff. Well, if growers want to learn more about the Fendt lineup, I'm sure contacting the local dealer, going online, probably great ways to start, isn't it, Connor?
That, of course, is correct. Visit our website at www.fendt.com for both the things you just mentioned, to learn more about the complete lineup of Fendt here in North America and to find your nearest Fendt dealer.
Awesome catching up with you. Enjoy the conversation here at Farm Progress Show. Enjoy the rest of your time in Boone, and hopefully we'll get to talk again soon.
You do the same. Thank you so much, Jesse, and look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
And again, that is Connor Bergen with Fendt. Talked to him at the Farm Progress Show this past week. That's going to do it for today's show. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thanks so much for joining us here on Market Talk. Have a fantastic rest of your day.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.